The Light at the End of the Tunnel in Numbers. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Stock markets are windows into how investors view the future for publicly traded companies. And that future is looking bright. The S&P 500 rose 1.1% yesterday. The Dow added 0.9%. Both reached all-time highs. The Dow closed above 34,000. And some eye-popping numbers out of China, too. It reported GDP jumped 18.3% between January and March. Here's the BBC's Robin Brandt in Shanghai.
The figure is so substantial because it's in comparison to the first 3 months of 2020, when this country ground to a halt because of the COVID-19 outbreak. The government statistics bureau said the figure showed continued momentum of stable recovery. Growth continues to accelerate, but it warned the international landscape had high uncertainties and instabilities. China's government managed to contain the spread of COVID here relatively quickly, and its economic recovery has been driven partly by big government spending. But it's been quick and sustained. Official economic data from China's agency is often treated with caution by independent analysts.
The BBC's Robin Brandt checking markets here. Dow, S&P and Nasdaq futures are up in the 1 to 1/10% range. The Brookings Institution released a report this week that says there's a staggering lack of diversity in one part of the Federal Reserve System, the directors of the 12 regional Federal Reserve banks scattered across the country. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live with the details. Hey, Nancy, first, who are these directors we're talking about?
They're like a board of directors at a private company. There are three different groups or classes of directors. One of those classes is appointed by the Fed's Board of Governors in Washington. The other two groups are selected by local bankers. The report's co-author, economic historian Caleb Nygaard, told me those bankers who choose the directors are mainly white men.
They are more likely to select people that look like them and have had backgrounds like them. And so unless more attention is paid to these decisions, they're going to continue to select people that look like them.
So basically, these regional bank directors are mostly white men.
Exactly. And the report says as late as the 2010s, fewer than 10% of these directors were people of color. And Nygaard says that has improved a bit.
We found that even as of 2019, less than 40% were female, less than 30% were minorities.
You mentioned that some of the regional bank directors are chosen by the Federal Board of Governors in Washington. Are they more diverse?
Definitely. And Fed officials told me right now nearly half of the directors selected by the Fed are women, more than half are people of color. But remember, the Fed just appoints a third of these regional bank directors. The local bankers select the rest.
All right. Nancy, thank you.
You're welcome.
The Federal Reserve and the administration have been trying to prepare the country for temporary modest inflation this year, maybe 2.3% or so, as the economy comes back. But some are worried we might see more significant and durable rises in prices. Joseph Gagnon is somewhere in between. He's senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Sabri.
So there are a couple different views on what exactly is going to happen to inflation. And one of them is that it's temporary. You know, it's a sort of pandemic hangover. We'll get over it. Can you explain that view?
Yes. When we went into the pandemic a year ago, inflation fell and prices rose less. And now it's rebounding as the economy is starting to reopen. We're recovering some of those lost price increases. And there may be even a bit more as there are still some lingering bottlenecks. Some places are still having surges in the virus. Global trade is still not back to normal. There's a number of issues that could temporarily raise inflation even a bit more this year.
So that's one view, that we'll have some temporary inflation pressures, but then it'll subside. There is another view that says we should be a little more worried. Can you explain that one?
Well, I think that view is more about sort of next year or very late this year, but probably more like next year. Mm-hmm. And that is based on the very large size of the stimulus packages or relief packages, depending on how you want to refer to them. Last year we had a big package and a lot of that money was saved, but it could be spent this year or next year. It's a lot of money. We haven't spent this much money from the government relative to the economy, size of the economy, since World War II. It's likely to boost spending beyond where the economy can sustainably produce, which is the way you get more inflation. And that's more likely to show up very late this year or next year.
If we do get a larger than expected spike in inflation, particularly next year, will that noticeably affect consumers and businesses?
Because I think what will happen is there'll be specific products or sectors where the price increases will be much more than 3% and it will be noticeable to people. Sort of in the way right now, about the only element of inflation that people ever notice is gasoline prices, because they're the ones that move the most up or down. People seem to forget when they move down and they notice when they move up. But the overall pattern of inflation, many things will not be noticeably more expensive. It really will take a statistician to see, when we average across all these things, it did move up from 2 to 3 or so, maybe even 4. But that will probably reflect a few categories where it went up 5 or 10% and then other categories where it didn't change.
Joseph Gagnon is Senior Fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome.
I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.